What have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 130. This week's show is all about Vanity Fair's ultimate preview for The Rise of Skywalker. Unlike always, it's just Ben this week. Actually, I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin.
Hello. Hey, Caitlin.
We're going to try not to screw this up. Yeah, don't tell Mikey. We've hijacked the show, and it's ours this week. Whoa. Although he's editing it, so who knows what'll happen.
This is true.
Yeah, right. Cool. All right. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on the post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. And then we're supposed to talk about audiobooks. So, two Star Wars audiobooks that were released in April. Dooku, Jedi Lost by Kevin Scott. Is Kevin the correct pronunciation?
I believe so.
Kevin Scott. Maybe we should go with that.
Okay.
As well as Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray. That's an easy name. And there's a long list of previously released Star Wars audiobooks to choose from. So usually Mikey's more on top of the audiobook situation when it comes to recommending books. But if these two books are in the dock, then I'm assuming they're good. I like the idea of having a Dooku book, so, you know.
Yeah, that one was released April 30th, and Master Apprentice was released April 16th, and that one's the one with Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right, yes, and I think, I want to say I was on the episode where we kind of discussed being excited about that.
I believe so.
That's not what we're excited about today, so... Sorry, Audible. No, just kidding. support the Resistance. We launched a Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Perks of the Patreon are Discord chat, recording studio, movie nights, After Dark episodes. Basically, you get to hear more of us when we're trying to be professional.
And trying to clap in sync.
Yeah, trying to clap in sync to link the recordings. Whatever, it's a disaster, but we are here. Can't afford to support us on Patreon. We also have merch for sale. There's t-shirts, button packs available on the website, which I listed earlier, but in case you weren't listening, it's resistanceradio.net. Cool. Alright, so we're here today to talk about basically the news and the spotlight topic are the same thing this week, and that's the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker Ultimate Preview from Vanity Fair. So, I'm going to toss it over to Caitlin because I've spoken for about 4 straight minutes and let her talk about this.
You poor soul.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So recently Vanity Fair released Ultimate Preview for The Rise of Skywalker. It was written by Lev Grossman, who's also an author, side note, and photography by Annie Leibovitz.
Leibovitz.
Oh, that sounds much better.
To think about.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I probably tried to like look at each Sweet. Letter. Cool. Yeah.
Her photography. She does the photos for like every Star Wars movie.
Yes.
For Vanity Fair since like the prequels.
And there's a reason why. Yeah, I was gonna say.
So good. It's like if you weren't excited for this movie, then these pictures will sell it to you. And even so I'm looking at the Vanity Fair website right now, just like the
banner.
What is it? The banner. Yeah, the banner picture of Abrams like speaking to Daisy Ridley while there's a camera in her face. Like it's with the mountains in the background and like the clouds and everything. It's just. So
it has a lot of depth to it.
It does. Yeah, it's not your average iPhone photo, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I definitely like you can see a lot happening in the photo, which is cool. So
yeah.
But I'm sure we'll talk about other photos. Also, I appreciate how J.J. Abrams is kind of like he gets how I dress. Like, I'm a t-shirt and dad shorts kind of person, so
also they're the same. They're in the desert, so you can't blame them.
Yeah, and I live in Texas, so we're basically the same. Anyway, cool. So continue. We were talking about photos and how beautiful they are.
Yeah, so we're just going to kind of go over like the main, like it's a very good article and I definitely recommend reading it. It's funny, it's sad, it's well written.
Sad and funny.
Well, it is, because like there's a few times I did laugh out loud reading it, and then there's like some hard moments because like it does touch on Carrie Fisher and Peter Mayhew, so exactly. it is sad. But anyways, it is really well written. I definitely recommend reading it, and like the photos and the writing in it are fantastic. But we're just gonna kind of scroll through like some of the main kind of, I guess, like subjects.
Go through the bullet points.
Yeah. So some of it might be shorter than others, and some might we might get a little bit more in depth into it.
I'm excited for the depth.
Okay. But, speaking of depth, and going back to that first picture, like it does talk about like the location. So like location in terms of Star Wars generally always going to a location to shoot a scene, as opposed to doing it in a studio with a green screen.
Right. Looks directly at prequels.
Which George Lucas did to himself. Yeah,
it's like, it's great because like you get to see actual places, you know, that they shot that like exist on Earth that are supposed to be other planets. And I think that's always amazing because you can, at this point, I mean, like I rewatched the prequels for May the 4th, along with the other, five movies, and it's noticeable when they're on location versus a green screen, like incredibly noticeable.
And the article gets into it because it really like it helps he spoke to multiple people about it, but it's kind of like it has like the real scene has its natural flaws and it makes it more real than something perfected by somebody in a studio, even though quite often I've seen where somebody's created an object or a scene where they purposely made it look dingy and whatnot, but you can never beat that real feel. And I have to appreciate that through the Star Wars very ever-expanding stories, it never fails to have some sort of desert, planet, or scene somewhere in them, and yet they always...
Sand is a staple in Star Wars.
It is, apparently. There was sand.
There was sand.
But,
if you haven't read the article, you wouldn't get that joke, so like you're not in on it, but like go read the article. There was sand.
But I appreciate the fact that each time it's a different desert or sand location, and it has a very different vibe and feel to it. So even though we're visiting new planets that once again have sand, they're very different from like Tatooine or Jakku.
Yeah,
because they shot in different spots, so they have different feels to them.
Yeah, and I really like that too. I mean, even when like the trailer dropped last month, and it opens with Rey in the desert. I wasn't like, oh, she's on Tatooine or oh, she's on Jakku. I was like, oh, a desert planet, you know, like
again,
you know, I know again, but it totally looked, I think just because of the, you know, the mountains, are there, which doesn't exist on either of the other two planets. You know, so it's cool.
And to look at, I guess like again, going back to there was sand.
There was sand.
The fact that, like, if you go to the prequels and we start with Anakin's story, it starts off with sand.
Yes.
And then kind of in, if I'm remembering correctly, the third episode, you see, again, Anakin goes back to Tatooine and, you know, he kills all those sand people, which is not
good. That's in episode two.
Oh, okay.
Episode three is when Luke and Leia... wait, what?
Yeah, they blur together in my head now, so I can't keep them straight.
They do, which is fine. You know, but, I mean, they're kind of the same movie, but
but each one of
that
like
was in clones.
These like,
is there sand in every movie? But I don't think Empire or Return of the Jedi have sand in them.
I don't remember, but like, there's essentially three trilogies that are involving Skywalkers to some level, right? So you have Anakin, and he starts off on Tatooine sand. You have, then you have the original trilogy where you have Luke starting off in Tatooine. There's sand. And then Rey, who, as far as we know, is not related to Skywalker whatsoever. However, she's the main character, and she does start on a planet with sand, Jakku. Mm-hmm. And, like, I believe somewhere in the article, once again, like, even Daisy Ridley, like, admits, like, she started off the trilogy on Jakku in a desert with sand, and they're shooting for this other planet, I forget the name of the place, and it, once again, it's sand. It's, like, this weird cyclical thing.
Yeah. Which is cool.
So and the next trilogy will be called Sand Wars.
Sand Wars. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But, yeah, I definitely... it's definitely something associated. I think, like, people who I know who haven't seen Star Wars, they exist. When they think of Star Wars, they're like, oh, yeah, desert planet and Jedi and stuff. And I'm like, oh, so it's, like, seeped into the consciousness. Which is, you know, why we're taking this deep philosophical dive into sand.
Yes. But moving, actually speaking of like sand and the picture that we were looking at with J.J. Abrams like dressed for the desert, mm-hmm. which is all fine and dandy because he's behind the camera. But if you look at some of the pictures and like the outfits, like you see, the Knights of Ren, and they're all dressed like head to toe in black. With no, it doesn't look very well vented. Looks very well designed and very cool, but not well vented.
If they are, well, okay, so assuming that the Knights of Ren are the group of Jedi that Kylo was like, guys, come with me, after he destroyed Luke's kind of Jedi temple, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the assumption we're all under. Then they probably have super Jedi bodily cooling powers, right?
Is that sure.
a fair assumption? That or they just, you know, maybe they're visiting this desert planet and they're not ready as far as their clothing is concerned, you know?
I just feel like I feel bad for the actors who had to dress in that and stand in the sun in the desert.
Yeah. I mean, heck, I'm even uncomfortable that JJ is wearing his hoodie in that photo.
Okay,
like, dude, you're in the desert.
As somebody who does not do well in sun, I can kind of appreciate that he was probably thinking, I don't have to put sunscreen on my arms every 2 hours.
Okay, well that's okay. That's fair.
That's my justification, but that's because I burn easily.
Okay, I buy it. Well, aren't you, I mean, you've never really seen the sun before, right? So like,
sun, what is the sun? I don't know what you're speaking of.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
What's this bright thing in the sky? But even the costumes, like, for Carrie Russell's character, which, again, it doesn't get much into, but it's Zori Bliss. Again, she's kind of fully covered, so we don't know how much of Carrie Russell we'll actually see once the mask is, or the helmet is removed.
I'm wondering if she's, like, a bounty hunter-style type person, like, who am I thinking of?
Boba Fett.
Not, like, the Fets. No, well, not them, but, like, what's her name? Zam. Zam, from Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
Like, she had a helmet on for, like... Well, wait, did it cover her face? I can't remember. I just watched this movie last month. This month. I watched it this month. I can't even remember. But she had a helmet. Like, part of her outfit, the helmet was part of it. And it was, like, a hallmark. And even though you could see... it didn't cover her face. But whatever. Her helmet was, like, part of the outfit. And you know... I kind of thought about that when I saw this, because even though it covers her face, it's sort of like, there's a recognizable costume, and, you know,
well, it's like, it's really cool.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's cool, too. It's also because it's like, I don't know, it doesn't look like it's copying anything we've seen already, you know?
No.
It's its own thing. What does the caption say?
But I appreciate, like, I think you're right in the sense that maybe it's related to, like, bounty hunters, because it is, the caption does say that it's seen in the thieves' quarter of the snow-dusted world.
Yeah, so she's Kijimi. A thief.
Yeah. Well, you assume so, because she's there, doesn't mean true. She is.
But, I don't know, she looks rather thievish. I mean, she's got, like, knives or something, like, or all those blasters, I can't tell.
It looks like a blaster.
She's got a very, like, don't mess with me kind of look to her pose. So I don't know. I would, my money is on that she's a thief. But of course we don't know. We don't, I mean, other than her character name, we don't really know anything about her. So
no. And again, like, the costumes from all the pictures just look incredible.
Yeah, yeah, they're cool.
I'm just sliding through them, but we can go over them later.
Yeah, for sure. We need to talk about the picture that Hux is in, because Hux is like my boy.
Of course.
He's like my main first order ginger. So I love how he's got, like, I feel like this is what's the, okay, so the picture, for anybody who's not looking at right now, it's on board a first order Star Destroyer, basically on the bridge. Or this looks like sort of a boardroom almost, with nice windows behind it. It kind of look, you know what it looks like? It looks like that first room that Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon walk into in episode 1 in the Trade Federation ship, where there's those windows and then there's that table where they're like planning on starting the negotiations, but like they don't happen. It kind of looks like that. But we've got Hux standing behind this one chair looking all menacing, like, I'm in charge here. But then in front of him, sitting in the chair, is this more in charge looking guy. Who's got
Allegiance General Pride.
Yeah, I mean, heck, his name is General Pride. Come on, guys. But like, he's got this cool, like, sash outfit thing that's it's still like a total, like, you know, space Nazi outfit, but like, he's, I don't know, it looks more, he looks like he's in a general position above.
Because it's rap style, and I mean, with a W. Sorry. That's a terrible joke.
That's, oh, wait, I get it.
Anyways, because it folds over itself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like a Jedi, like, tunic, yeah, but black. But in his left hand, it almost looks like the barrel of a gun or the handle of something.
Oh,
that just,
yeah, it does.
Anyways, barrel, I just noticed that.
Be...
Like, I don't know if it's a stick.
Yeah, maybe it's
like a crop, but
I mean, we've seen really cool, like the stormtroopers in Last Jedi had those cool electric stick torture things that they almost killed Finn.
I like how
Rose
you
with.
Use the word cool and torture in the same sentence.
Well, you know, it happens, right? We've all been there.
Anyway, no, but okay.
The cool design within fictional film of the torture stick thing that he is potentially holding. Maybe it's like, it's not a lightsaber, but like if you ignite it or like turn it on, it be- or like General Grievous's guards have those cool electric like staffs, basically. Maybe it's something like that, or it could just be like a PowerPoint light that you point to presentations with.
I feel like that's so much better.
That's probably so much better, because Hux will be like, tell me what to do, and he'd be like, well, and there's like a PowerPoint.
Yes, I have this 300 slide PowerPoint presentation I'm going to make you sit through.
But anyway, so I think the picture sort of displays the idea that Hux, understanding that Kylo Ren is kind of the supreme leader now, is salty about it, and kind of went to find a new general dude. And I'm assuming this guy... is it.
Well, because he's in, like, it's, that's the thing, it's General Hux, but it's Allegiant General Pride.
Yeah, so he's clearly above where Hux is.
I think so. And also,
we don't even know if, like, I mean, Kylo Ren, if he has the Knights of Ren, is he off doing Sith things, and, like, the First Order kind of is still on his side, but they're sort of separated at this point? You know, like,
or if it's more of like he's like, okay, this is like our goal is to like crush the resistance.
Right.
Allegiant General Pride, you're gonna do this, I'm gonna go do this.
Yeah. And I think that might be, well, I mean, because you may have Kylo Ren being like, y'all take out the resistance, I'm gonna go find Rey, you know? And there's sort of those dual storylines where one's like a group of people versus a group of people, and then there's like Rey and Kylo Ren, and maybe, you know, like the Knights of Ren and like Rey and her broom kid Padawan buddies. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and I feel like just the fact that Hux is standing behind Clyde, I feel like it's kind of like, I can almost see, because he was having that power dynamic issue with Kylo Ren, both in Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So I'm wondering if it's more of like, okay, I'm siding on this, like I'm using this guy kind of as my both pawn and as like the leader to try and get back into a like a better standing.
Yeah, I would say, but so I mean, Hux has always been in the place of like, why can't I be on top? Like, he's kind of whiny, and it's really fun to watch.
Well, because like I feel like in Force Awakens he was very like fanatical, and then almost at the end of Last Jedi he was almost like the evil side comedic relief, because of just, again, the power dynamic and just being like shut down by Kylo Ren. Like the power of dynamic,
and this is just to make a Harry Potter comparison, just because he's a Weasley and like whatever, but like I'm thinking this may be like a Percy Weasley and Cornelius Fudge kind of relationship. Where like all Hux wants to do is impress this,
which
what
is
Grand Admiral. What is his title?
Allegiant General. Which
Allegiant General. He wants to impress this Allegiant General just so he can, you know,
which
go
I
up the ranks.
Appreciate the comparison, because Domhnall Gleeson played Bill Weasley.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, so, side note.
That would have been fun if they cast Brendan Gleeson as this general dude.
Oh, it would have been
awkward. Cool. All right. Well, I don't know. If you have nothing else to say about this photo, I feel like we've kind of ripped it to shreds.
Yep. We can move on.
Oh my gosh, his name was right below the picture, and I asked you what it was.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
The more you know.
I gotcha.
My goodness. Okay. All right. So, moving on. Where's the next picture?
I like how you're going just straight for the pictures.
Well, okay, never mind. We don't need to go straight for the pictures.
I'm just teasing you.
Pictures are cool. Well, one of the bold kind of quotes that comes out of the article on the page is, quote, it says, this trilogy is about this young generation, this new generation, having to deal with all the debt that has come before. And I'm assuming this is referring to Rey, Finn, Poe, Rose, like the gang, having to deal with a messed up family that came before them, who kind of screwed over the galaxy.
Well, that and the Republic kind of falling apart again.
Yeah. Well, the Republic kind of got blown up, you know, so.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that, like, it mentions it in, like, they paraphrase Ursula Le Guin about how great science fiction is never really about the future. It's about the present. Mm-hmm. And I know this is supposed to happen in a galaxy far away, like, a long time ago. But it does, like, that whole, like, the next generation having to try and fix or repair issues that were caught, like the ripple effect of what was caused by previous generations. The article does kind of point out that seems oddly familiar.
I mean, I also think, it could be argued that after the prequels were made, that that's exactly what the characters in the original trilogy were doing as well. And I think every generation probably has that feeling too. Which is why, even if they're trying to be timely with it, it's still gonna be timeless, you know, like, 50 years from now, anyway.
Well, and that's the sense that, like, even though we got, like, the original trilogy takes place, like, we got it first, but it takes place after the prequels, it's the same thing. Like, Anakin was trying to, like, balance the Force because of previous things that had happened, and then, like, Luke was trying to balance the Force because of previous thing that had happened, and it just coincidentally happened to be his father. And now Rey's stuck trying to bring balance to the Force again because of issues related, not necessarily by her father, but other places. And it just so happened that Kylo Ren happened to tip things in the wrong direction for what stereotypically a Skywalker is supposed to.
Right. But, I mean, if you're going from the Kylo Ren Skywalker perspective, Kylo Ren, from his perspective, is trying to fix what the previous generation screwed up. And in his opinion, that's, like, Lucas a jerk, well, and I hate him.
And here's the thing, like, there's there is such things as, like, antagonists or, like, quote-unquote bad guys who, in their eyes, aren't actually bad. They think that they're, like, right and they're doing the correct course. And I'm not sure if Kylo Ren truly, like, acknowledges it's the correct, like, it's, like, the good, quote-unquote, thing. Like, it's not the light side. I think he knows, like, he's on the dark side.
Yeah, he's
I think for him, that's what he feels is his part.
Yeah. Which is, I think, what separates him from a character like Anakin. Whereas, like, Anakin became evil through desperation and
fear.
Kylo Ren, we don't... I mean, do we really know why he became evil?
Well, the article kind of, like... Like, it talks about, because, oh, what's his name? Everybody... There's a lot of people who have... What is the name of the actor who is playing Kylo Ren?
Who?
That's what I'm asking you.
No, I didn't hear the end of... No, you cut out. I
totally figured
you were just, like, searching for the name. Who?
The guy who plays Kylo Ren.
Oh, Adam Driver.
Thank you. So yeah, Adam, like, the article itself does, wow, like...
Sorry. I'm thinking of whoever's listening, like, oh my gosh, they're so dumb. We know it's Adam Driver, guys. Just calm down.
There's a lot of names to remember. I don't know what you want from me. But in the article, like, Lev Grossman does talk about how Adam Driver has kind of put a lot of thought into Kylo Ren and how he got to the point that he did. And just in the sense that, like, was it... because, I mean, his parents are these, like, epic figures of, like, General Organa and Han Solo. And, like, how do you go bad? But, like, the fact that, like, as it points out, one was into the rebellion or now resistance, and the other one was into, like, smuggling. Neither one of them are, like, worlds or jobs that really allow for much family time. And plus, like, the added pressure of who they were, and as, like, it's been discussed before, Snoke was quite possibly close and kind of, like, snuck in, like, did a quicker, easier...
No, he snoked in.
Oh, wow. We're gonna kill that joke just like him.
I'm not sorry.
And, kind of like Emperor Palpatine kind of did to Anakin, right? He kind of, through benevolence, pulled him over to, like, the dark side of the Force, because they have cookies and everything, and that's probably all Kylo Ren really needed.
Just a cookie. It's like, hey, sup, we have cookies. And he's like, yep, sign me up. I'm
ready. My mom doesn't have time to make me that, because she's saving the galaxy.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'd be bitter about it. It's like, my parents sent me off to, like, my uncle's little Jedi school, and I hate it here. And then he just...
Because there's sand.
Up and left. There's sand. Was there sand? I can't remember.
No, I'm just making it up, because that seems to be a...
But I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't sand on the planet where Luke was training people, if, like, he put, like, a little sand, like, hourglass or something in Kylo's room, like...
Just to set off.
This hourglass is made from the sands of Tatooine and your family history, yada yada, blah 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 blah. So,
well, doesn't he have, like, when he has his little shrine to Darth Vader, doesn't he have the helmet in, like, a platter of sand?
Does he? I don't even know. I know that when he took his helmet off, he put it on this, like, thing that looked like one of those, like, gymnastics, like, chalk stations, you know? But I don't remember if the helmet was on any, like Darth Vader's helmet was on anything. But
wow, my memory details. Is just like no good today. Anyways.
Anyways, fine. Cool. Okay. Who's the next new actor? I know there was one other.
So that would be, I have her name right.
Oh, here it is.
Naomi Aki. As Janna.
Janna. What an elegant name. It's not like K2SO.
But amazing photo.
Yeah, her photo's like, cool. I like, specifically the fact that it looks like an old, like, American West painting, almost, with, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, you've got, like, buffalo herds on the plains of the States or whatever, just because, like, she and Finn are riding these, like, horse-ish looking things.
Well, and here's my question. When I first saw those, I couldn't tell because the photo is on the smaller side because they're being mean about it. I'm like, all the other ones are nice and big, but that one's small. Yeah. It's this weird, like, shaggy pony look, but with tusks. But I can't tell if the front of it, because they almost have, like, painted masks on, so I can't tell if that's the actual, like, creature's face, or if that's, like, because obviously, Finn and Janna have weapons, whether that's just, like, that creature's, like, battle armor.
Yeah, I would, I zoomed in on the photo, and it looks like it might be their face, but the white stuff is painted on specifically as sort of like a war paint thing going on. But yeah, I like the photo because they're like ready for battle, but also the fact that she has a bow and arrow, you know, and like I bet Chewie's upset, but like aside from that,
can I also point out that she is about to shoot a bow and arrow and technically riding that horse. An Orback side saddle. Do you know how hard it is to ride side saddle?
No, I don't. Do you?
It's quite difficult.
Okay, I have no experience.
Like, well, zero, like, put it this way, I've temporarily tried it and went, nope, and put my leg on the other, back on the other side.
Okay, great. So you could not play this role.
No. Is what you're saying. Well, mind you, I would never look that badass to begin with, so.
Well, you probably don't own a bow and arrow, that's why.
Yes, that too. Yeah. But I'd be too busy petting the Orbacks instead.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Anyways.
But there's no... this is another new character. There's, like, zero information about her except for the fact that she can shoot a bow and arrow from a horse-looking thing side saddle in a super badass kind of way. So, a very Legolas kind of way.
Yeah, like, I'm super excited to meet these new characters. Not gonna lie. However... I'm slightly, like, we can get into, like, the original trio for this trilogy in a second, but can I point out, like, the article does talk about, Rose,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I have yet to see any photos of Rose.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like nothing...
I know she, because she was at Star Wars Celebration.
Well, at one point, I was beginning to question whether Rose was even in this movie. Because there has been limited, and if it wasn't for this article actually talking to Miss Tran, I wouldn't, like, I'd be...
She's not a teacher.
I would begin to question. Mrs. Tran. I have utmost respect for her. Leave me alone.
Oh, yeah, same. No, I'm totally in your boat.
But... I feel like there has been nothing about her, and again, like I said, if this article didn't, if they hadn't have talked to Kelly Marie Tran, if they hadn't talked about Rose being in this and her possible, like, change in relationship with Finn, I'd question if she's in this movie. Because there's been nothing about her.
I would understand from a... as much as we didn't like it, you know, the fact that Kelly Marie Tran had a hard time after the eighth movie came out,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, just from a marketing perspective, They were like, let's keep her off the front of the marketing so people can, the people who were kind of bitter about Last Jedi can get excited for this one, and then we'll kind of introduce the things that they ended up not liking. You know, that's not fair, but it's kind of like, that's being
a I find business. Like it's sad that they, if that's the reason why they're doing it, or if it like,
I hope not.
I hope it's because I hope the reason
secret Jedi mission.
Yeah, exactly.
To see it because it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's like, to be honest, we don't know a lot about the plot, so I'm hoping that's why she hasn't been mentioned. But yeah. And like, I get like, we got quite a bit about Rose Tico leading up to episode 8 because she was a new character, and now we have new characters again, so they're doing that, introducing us to the new ones. But at the same time, like, I do appreciate that the article talks about the racist and sexist attacks that she went through online.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I also appreciate that it mentioned, like, when she was at Celebration, she got a standing ovation.
Right. There's clearly people who like her. It's just those are the people who are not on the internet, you know?
Well, I feel like sometimes the negative outweighs, like, some of the comments she was getting, I don't blame her for leaving. Even though, like, I'm sure there was a plethora of people saying how much they loved her. But it's kind of hard when you're getting, like, the hateful comments that she got. Yeah. Sometimes dark
that's the case with so many
outweighs the people. Light.
Yeah, at least on the internet it does. But I mean, like, again, like you were saying, a standing ovation at Star Wars Celebration is proof that, you know,
she is loved and appreciated.
Yeah, the internet can be hostile, but usually it's because, like, you know, more people on the internet are vocal about what they dislike than what they like, so it kind of makes sense, as kind of awful of a situation as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But going, so this new character that Naomi Aki is playing, we don't know anything about her, aside from the bad assery that's going on. But I'd be curious to know, like, what, like, does she live on this planet with these horse things? Because she looks pretty damn confident on top of one, you know?
Yeah. But so does Finn, which is odd. But mind you, he did, I forget the name of the creature that they rode, like, him and Rose.
Oh, the Fathiers.
Yes. They were cute. Anyways, like, he has ridden an ant, like, a four-legged animal before, so.
Yeah. So, he probably was just like, don't worry, Jana, like, I've ridden a four-legged animal. In fact, I broke out of a casino on one. And she's like, that's cute. Hold my bow and arrow.
I feel like he would say that and then proceed to fall off of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very Finn thing to do. But,
and who knows?
Is she wearing a cape? Is that her cape behind her? Because that's awesome.
Quite possibly. See, like,
I want to say it's a cape. Until I see the movie and it's not a cape, it's a cape.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I'm, like, as much as I hear cape and I hear Edna in my head going, no capes.
I am a
big fan of capes.
Yeah, capes are great.
Yes, especially when they blow epically behind you as you charge into battle.
So far in Star Wars, I've not seen airplane engines or tornadoes or any sort of fatal-looking...
Well, Lando's still alive, so we're going to assume...
Yeah, Lando's still
around. The risk to capes are small.
Cool. Should we go to the neighboring picture of Kylo Ren and Rey fighting?
Yes, I just have to remember where in the article is because I left that spot.
Oh, okay.
But proceed talking and I will find it.
I hated how it started with saying it was star-crossed. I'm like, they're not in love, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. The article does kind of like mention about like the relationship and the change in it, and like it implies like a loved one, and it's not the impression I got. Like, yes, they have a connection, but I did not get the impression that it was love, and I really hope it doesn't turn that way.
Yeah, I mean, Rey's smart. She won't make a stupid choice. Although, here's the thing, this is totally not the Reylo thing at all. It's referencing the picture itself. Because first of all, if she's in love with him, she would not look like she's about to like slice his face off with a lightsaber. So you know what? I'm gonna put that one out there. They look like, and this is just a theory based off the trailer, that they're standing on the ruins of that Death Star that was in the middle of the ocean and are fighting it out.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be awesome. Like, trying to find a way in, but they can't because they're fighting.
Or they've already been in. And they're on the way.
Or that too. Yeah, that's also, yeah, that's a possibility.
Because that looks more than just rain. Like, that looks like a lot of, like, waves.
Like, waves.
Washing up on that thing. And that thing was, like, high up.
Yeah.
But I do love the, like, duality of that image of, like, again, the dark and the light. And even just the way the cloud arcs over them, connecting the two. Anyways.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
But in what's also funny, sorry, I just noticed this. On Rey's side behind her, the clouds and the waves are darker, but on the other side of Kylo Ren, they're lighter.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to like theorize too much, so I won't. I'm just going to argue that for the picture's sake, Rey is dressed in white, so having a dark color behind her is helpful.
Yeah, oh, I know why they did it. It's just kind of like, just I'm just noticing that like the color dynamics in the photo and how cool it looks.
They are cool. It's a nice photo. Cool. Okay. We've covered that photo. What else do we got?
You looking
for
the next photo?
Do you want to move on to the returning characters or no?
Well, if you... Like, if we go down, like, because you're going based off photos, so the next one, it does have Rey.
We don't have to, I mean, if, okay.
Yeah, no, sure, but it leads into, because it does have BB-8 and Chewie in it, so it kind of...
Yay!
Yeah.
Best pals. Yeah. So the next one is cool. I like the fact that the rig that they have, it has wheels, but there's also green screen things next to them, which means that it's not going to have wheels in the end.
Yeah, I feel like that's, yeah, they'll probably do something at the bottom of that thing.
Yeah, I think this is probably the thing that they were, that was in the trailer. I think Poe is probably involved in this scene as well.
Well, there is another, no, I'm thinking of something else, never mind.
I love this. Camera operator Colin Anderson readies a take for the chase sequence spotlighting the heroics of Chewbacca, BB-8, and Rey. That's awesome. That's great. I wonder if Chewie has like a little porg with him.
Oh dear.
Or if that was just like a temporary team up, kind of like Chewie and Yoda.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to think the porgs will come save the day. At the end of the movie.
Well, because it's also a year later, right?
Oh, was it a year? I knew there was a time jump, I just didn't know how long.
Yeah, in the article, I think they said it's been a year.
It's been a year, okay. As opposed to 40 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, who knows, because there were porgs on the Millennium Falcon. So who knows if they've... populated, so maybe if they left, like, who knows?
Yeah, maybe they make their residence on the Falcon.
Or maybe Chewie got hungry one day.
Maybe. I mean, we know he likes to eat them, so...
Or tries to until they stare at him.
That's a side story. What if there was a movie made from the Porg's perspective where, like, they loved Chewie, and they all joined him on the Falcon, but they didn't know? It's like the episode of The Twilight Zone, where, like, the aliens come to Earth, and, like, they... The people on Earth go along like with the aliens, but they don't realize the aliens want to cook them.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I haven't seen The Twilight Zone, but I was also thinking of like...
You are missing out.
Alice in Wonderland, when Tweedledee, Tweedledum tell the story about the walrus and the carpenter.
Oh, that's right, that's a deep cut, wow. Whew.
Sorry.
Throwback. Wow. But yes. Oh, I'm seeing the animated, the Disney one, right? Are we talking about the same movie? Okay, because there's like 18 different Alice in Wonderland.
I know, no, I'm talking about like, I think it's like 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that one. That one's also terrifying. The Cheshire Cat.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, and okay, can we talk about Momraths for a second?
Okay.
You know when, like, the path disappears?
Yes.
And she's, like, lost and then has to follow
like
the Momraths?
Like, your anxiety attack comes in?
Yeah, I was like, girl, don't freaking follow the Momraths. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. That's just There were things about that movie that messed me up as a child.
I think that might be why, like, I don't quite understand people's, like, absolute fascination with Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. And maybe that movie might be why. Anyways. Yeah,
it's probably just, like, how Disney ruined us with that movie as kids.
Speaking of Disney, let's go back to Star Wars. Speaking of Disney,
okay, cool. Are we done? Are we done with this photo? It's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. It's people shooting with cameras, not guns. A sequence.
Well, there might be somebody off camera shooting with a gun, but
that's true. Yeah. Well, it'd be a blaster, you know, because like that's what they're called in Star Wars. But anyway, the next photo is kind of awesome.
Sorry, I haven't been on in a while. Have you seen the meme? It came out right after the trailer did, and it has, like, Lando Calrissian driving the Millennium Falcon, and then, like, well, it goes back to, like, it's, like, when Lando was, like, I'm gonna get the Millennium Falcon back, and Han Solo is, like, over my dead body, and then it shows a clip
of him just laughing. And yes. That was hilarious.
And somebody,
that,
like,
one made me kind of laugh more than feel bad, because I was like, that's funny. When I'm a fan of morbid humor, though, so it's okay.
I like the caption, but too soon?
Yeah, right. Let's go from least exciting part of this picture to the most exciting part of this picture. So, you know, BB-8 and Chewie look fine, but we know them already, and they're cool and stuff. There's this new little robot who looks like a...
It kind of reminds me of a weird cross between BB-8 and K-9 from Doctor Who.
Okay. I don't watch Doctor Who, but...
Oh, you're missing out.
I believe you... Well, you know...
I'm sorry, is that not what you said when I said I haven't watched Twilight, so...
Yeah, but I'm just saying. yeah. I was gonna say, it looks like a mute that you put in a French horn, but that's a very...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So,
now I will never unsee that. But it's funny, because BB-8 was like the little pet droid, and now BB-8 has a pet droid, which means BB-8's grown up.
Yeah.
That's cute. And then we've got Poe looking suave.
He's
got,
always,
like, one hand, like, way over on the thing, and then another way he's, like, leaning
spread
on it.
Spread out, stuff. Relaxed.
Yeah, he's, like, chill. He's like, yeah, it's my ship, even though it's not.
Yeah.
But also, I think he's, isn't he supposed to be settling in as sort of the resistance leader now?
Yeah.
So.
Because, again, that goes into, like, that year time gap where he's gone from being, like, the lone wolf, shoot from the hip.
He's now Leia approved.
Yeah, so he's had to kind of step up because they lost, like, we can get into, how they're gonna do, General Organa in this. But basically, they lost a lot of leaders and people of the resistance before, so I think he's had to kind of step up faster than was originally expected. Yeah. And who knows, like, based off, like, so the article, it does talk about how J.J. Abrams realized he had all these unused clips from Force Awakens with Carrie Fisher, and how they kind of rewrote the script and the lighting and the angles and shooting to kind of incorporate that into Episode 9 so that she is still in it. But I'm curious, like, if it's sufficient for this, where, like, her whole story happens and, like, she, her character is still alive, we just only see her for those little bits, or whether they've had to end her story, like, General Organa's storyline in it.
Right, yeah. I'm curious. I think they'll be able to pull it off. I mean, they wouldn't... I don't know. I think they'll do it justice, at least. You know, I mean, everyone also is going into this movie knowing the circumstances, you know, under which they had to make the movie. So it's not like people are going to be upset if there's very little Leia in the movie.
And the fact that her daughter was there on set, and, like, I think J.J. Abrams made a comment how he was trying to keep her away from those scenes so that it wouldn't be so hard, but she was like, no, it's fine. So, like, I would hope, like, with the fact that they respected that they weren't going to try to, like, digitally put her in or try and get somebody else to play her part. I'm hoping that they do it in a respectful way.
Yeah, definitely. I think they will. I mean, how could they not, you know? But, yeah, so I'm going to get back to Poe really quick. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, I zoomed in on the picture. Oscar Isaac's face, it doesn't really look like Poe. It looks like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting next to Billy Dee Williams.
Which is fair.
Which, I know, like, that's fine. But then we're talking about the main focus of the picture. Billy Dee Williams looking awesome in the driver's seat. Let's see. I'm kind of zooming in on the picture to see if I can find anything. He's still got that cool thing on his left wrist that he can, like, contact people with, which I think is awesome. And a cape. I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with a cape.
I think we'd all be disappointed if he didn't have a cape.
Yeah, and a Lando stash.
And it's funny because he's kind of smiling, but it also looks like he's kind of worried.
Yeah, I mean, we'll pose next to him. So, he's like, oh, you're the one who worried Leia. I'm scared.
Instead of the, well, hello there.
Yeah, right. Ugh. But maybe he's worried about the new droid. But
who knows?
What's his name? D.O.?
Yeah.
D.O. BB-8. Let's see. Williams. He's okay, cool. I am just astounded by this picture. Also, is that like a in between them, is that a flux capacitor? Like, are they going to time travel?
I was like, I think this is the wrong story.
Yeah. Until now.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But anyway, yeah. Love the picture. I'm excited.
That's a nice wrap-up.
Yeah. That's how... I can't think of a transition. We're done.
So the next one is we're back at the desert.
Hooray!
And so it was because they shot in a desert in Jordan. They're like... Some local people play the Aki Aki. And it's natives of the planet Pasana.
Aki Aki. Pasana. Pasana. There's two A's. I'm just going to lengthen it. Yeah, they look cool. I mean, like, you know, Star Wars aliens are kind of, like, unmistakable, right? So these guys are no exception.
Well, and again, that speaks to, like, earlier when we were talking about, like, location and how they shoot on site, and it gives it a more real, like, 3D depth.
Yes, yeah.
Again, with their non-human characters, because they use, like, makeup and costumes and things like that, again, it gives it a more real visual, but also it helps when people are interacting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I like the random crew member behind him.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like he has remote controls, which makes me think some of these guys will have, even if there's a person in the costume, that part of them will be remote controlled.
Well, I feel like, I don't know, like, whether you call them tusks or maybe those things move, because if you look at them, they're in different, like, shapes.
Yeah, like, they look,
they kind of remind me,
like, they're not like tusks, but like two trunks.
Yes.
Like elephant trunks, you know.
Again, if you watch Doctor Who, you get this, but they remind me of the Ood. And they have, like, these, like, tentacle, multiple, like, tentacle things that kind of come out at the bottom of their face. And they don't really move, they just kind of, like, shift. In Doctor Who, but, like, it still kind of reminds me of these, like, individual, like, almost like, same with, like, in some insects, they have, like, prongs or antennas that kind of shift and move on their own and feel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's, the picture's funny, because in the middle, there's this kind of normal dude with, like, a normal blanket on him. And I'm like, that's fine, but y'all don't look as cool as an alien. So,
well, whatever. He looks, it's weird because like they're in a lot of layers and it's the desert, so it makes me question, is it like a hot desert or is this like protection from like the wind and sand, as opposed, like, it may still be hot, but they still need to cover their skin. Because the person on the far right, like, has, like, a face mask, but his nose is exposed, and they have goggles on, and then there's this one who doesn't look like any of the others.
Yeah.
And
the other one looks like, the robotic sort of looking one, the shorter one. Kind of looks like, this is very random. You know in the beginning of Force Awakens, that robot that interrupts Rey while she's working?
No.
Maybe? Okay.
Sorry, that scene's eluding me.
That's the first... It's like Rey's like working and she sees this old woman like across from her.
Gets
interrupted like by this robot who presumably says, get back to work, but it's in a robot language. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. That's very random and that's what it reminded me of.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, these guys look cool. I like the next photo. Let's see. Composer John Williams conducting the Star Wars score.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, good thing Ben's on this episode.
Drawing on themes and motifs he has woven over four decades. Quote, I didn't think there would ever be a second film, he says. Well, tough noodles, J-dubs. There are nine of them. My goodness. Hold on, I need to go find the... what I remember about working on the first film, says John Williams, the legendary soundtrack composer. Wow, thank you, Vanity Fair. is the fact that I didn't ever think there would be a second film. Yes, we just read that. He also, like everybody else, thought Luke and Leia were going to get together, so he wrote them a love theme.
Awkward!
Amazing. To be fair, Anakin and Padme have a love theme, and they kind of look like brother and sister. Anyway, I'm just going to leave that one there. cool.
And they had to have, like, capture that picture when it's Leia on screen.
Yeah, I know. Which is so kinda cool.
Well, it makes me wonder, okay, is this picture for Rise of Skywalker, or is this picture from one of the previous two?
That's true. Well, this, because the scene doesn't look like one we've seen before.
Well, we've seen that outfit before, though.
We have.
And, like, you have...
using footage from the first movie, then, you know, obviously she would have the same costume on, right?
Yeah.
But who knows? Let's see. Can I zoom in on the cue sheet? Darn it, I can't read the name of the cue they're recording.
Nice try, though. It's
from this movie or not. Well, regardless, it's exciting because Star Wars is nothing without
John Williams.
I was thinking they should do a sit-down discussion with John Williams and Anthony Daniels, because they're the only people who've worked on all nine of them.
Yeah.
Unless there's some special effects dude at ILM who is also in that boat. But get all those people, because not even George Lucas has worked on all nine of them, you know? So I think it'd be cool to like have them all get together and talk about their experience over the last like 40 years. So. Anyway, let's see, quote, it wasn't all over when the Ewoks sang, Obi-Wan died in vain, even Han and Leia split up, it's all a little less of a fairy tale now. At some point, Abrams has to let Abrams be Abrams. Wow, Abrams is used three times in that sentence. I'm low-key triggered by that. Alright, where's the next picture?
Well, because, like, in the sense, like, again, it's, like, I appreciate, like, Lev Grossman kind of points out, like, how, like, episode 7 was very much like episode 4.
Yeah.
But both the movies themselves and, like, the characters in them and the storyline, as well as the director, had to kind of grow and become their own. Mm-hmm. Which, like, to be fair, like, it's a fair trajectory to have on something as epic or well-known as Star Wars, in the sense that, like, to try and, like, please the the original fans, and to pull in new fans, you kind of have to, like, make a lot of nods to the previous movies, but as it progresses, you can start to make it its own, like, episode, and I think that's part of, like, a reason why some people like Rian Johnson's, like, episode 8 and why people hate it, is because it veered very much off of what episode 5 was, and it took risks or it took twists that people were not expecting and therefore didn't like.
Yeah. No, I would agree. This one I think will be probably a compromise movie in the sense that if Abrams is going to be Abrams, then we're probably going to get, you know, some lens flares. and then, but I think he also, obviously he's making a Star Wars movie. He's not going to not be true to Star Wars. But I think this one will be like J.J. Abrams' Star Wars movie, whereas episode 7 was like a new Star Wars movie that happens to be directed by J.J. Abrams, you know?
Well, and like, yeah, because, like, it pointed out, like, it has to go its own, it has to organically reach its story, but also, like, and be its own, but it also has to be where, like, the audience who have followed along with the series kind of be like, it makes sense that it goes this way, mm-hmm. without it being, like, predictable.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do. Because I think even, not just for Star Wars, but like book series or TV series, anything like that, if like especially when you know that there's an arc and a finish to it, I find often my favorite books in the series are the beginning ones, because as the series progress, you start to predict how you think it should go or end. And when it doesn't go that way, people get upset because it's not a surprise that they wanted. Doesn't mean it's necessarily, sometimes it is because it's legit not good, but sometimes it's just because it doesn't meet their expectation. Of course, they've had a chance to settle with how they expected it to go in their head. And the same with, like, a lot of people wanted Rey to be related to the Skywalkers in some way. And I still take what was said in episode 8 with a grain of salt, because there's been no actual proof of that. Like, of her parentage. Not to say that I think it is a Skywalker, but I don't necessarily totally trust that, oh, it's nobody and that's the end of that. I think a lot of people were upset that it wasn't, was because they were expecting it and they wanted it and they didn't get it. More so than because it because I appreciate the fact that just because somebody's really strong in the Force doesn't mean that they have to be a Skywalker.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we won't even know until December. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Skywalkers, there's this epic picture of Luke and R2-D2.
Yes.
And they are, man, they are on fire in this picture.
Well, and it does lead to the whole meaning of what does Rise of Skywalker mean.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now,
I'm surprised they don't show. This is either a flashback, or they just haven't put the ghost Luke effects on Luke yet. But I'm assuming this is a flashback, considering ghost.
Yes.
Jedi can't have robes that wave in the wind, you know, and his are.
Yeah, I get the impression this is a flashback, because nowhere in this article, like, they specifically said, like, Anthony Daniels, am I remembering his name correctly, is the only original, like, and, like, Lando are the only original, like, cast members on this set.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because,
So this is most likely a flashback. I mean, we're not gonna not see Luke.
Yeah, I feel, like, personally, you know. I'm just like, yeah, he wasn't on set, doesn't mean he wasn't in studio later.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just, like, my thought. Because, like, out of nowhere, we got Yoda last time. So they're not, so they're still allowing Force Ghosts to be a thing in this trilogy.
Yeah. Which I'm pumped for, so it's fine.
And I feel like how Luke decided to kind of, like, we'll say disappear. To me, that reads as
which is
he's
exactly what he did.
Leaving.
Although, you know, Obi-Wan just disappeared.
But yes, he showed did.
Up, so.
And Yoda did once he was ready to die. So, like, I feel like that's part of the whole, like, setting up for Force Ghosts. Because I know, I think Mikey's talked about previously that, was it Qui-Gon Jinn or somebody else was meant to look in further into how it's possible to become a Force Ghost.
And if anybody can become a Force Ghost, it's Luke. I mean, he's kind of, you know, awesome.
Well, he's seen it happen.
Yeah, we also have proof that, like, you know, Anakin became a Force Ghost, so.
Well, Anakin, Yoda, like, Obi-Wan, like, all these people he's had connections to in some way or another, he's seen as a Force Ghost.
Well, that, and also, I feel like if I was Luke, I'd be like, man, all these guys are Force Ghosts, like, when I die, I better be one, you know?
Yeah, so. Well, and I again, like, the fact that he decided to project himself and then disappear tells me he that's what he wanted and that's what he was prepared to, because otherwise, why wouldn't he just show up and deal with it?
Exactly. That and also, like, the whole peace and purpose line at the end, where he clearly knew that that was how it was going to go.
Yeah. Like, he had planned that. Like, he did it just to be a troll to his nephew.
I know, which is
great. And then peaced out.
I'm down for the trolling of nephews.
I feel sorry for any nephews you have or will have. Anyways.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
So, like, because I wasn't on the episode when the trailer came out, because, my goodness, that was epic. did you discuss your, like, with you and Mikey and whoever else was on the episode, did you discuss what your theories were for what Rise of the Skywalker means?
So, I can't remember if I was on the trailer episode, because the trailer debuted at Celebration, and I know that the Celebration episode I was not on. So,
okay.
For me, when I... Rise of Skywalker... I don't know if I've actually theorized about the name. I'm just kind of like, oh, it's another mediocre title for a Star Wars movie. Like, you know, I've never really liked the names of any of the Star Wars movies. I think The Last Jedi is kind of epic. But aside from that, I don't know. I would say it's either... We could talk about, like, you know, Luke or the, you know... Here's a different idea that just popped in my head. What if Skywalker refers to the entire family and Rise meaning, like, their prominence in the Jedi kind of lore, you know? Like, what if it's the Skywalkers have all taken their place in Force Ghostdom and are now guiding other Jedi through the Force? That's a really long, stretched-out theory, but... I'm just saying, if they're trying to bring it all together, that might be a way. Could be Kylo Ren. Doesn't mean he has to rise to the good side, but, you know, he is a Skywalker.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, like...
Breathing one.
Because he can rise in ranks or his ability in the Dark Force. Like, there's a lot of ways that Kylo Ren can rise. Because he is part Skywalker. I'm not sure how I feel about, like, the name specifically Skywalker being a replacement for, like, Jedi and Sith, like, having, like, a gray area of Force users. But I don't mind the theory of there being, like, more of a gray zone, because, like, if you have more of a gray, ambiguous Force user, like, group, then, like, if you don't have light, then you won't have dark.
Right.
Like, so, yeah. Like, it's kind of like a compromise.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the fundamental kind of question of the movie, because they need to answer it somehow.
Well, and we know that they're making another trilogy, but it's not going to have Skywalkers in it, so then it becomes... Well, is it a continuation of this story for other people? Does it happen so much in the future that even, like, whoever survives this one, like, say, Rey, is no longer prevalent? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Or so far in the past that it doesn't even matter, you know?
Yeah, well, because I guess I've figured that the Rian Johnson trilogy is more of the past one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think we even know. I mean, also, that's like 3 years away. So
yeah, well, and
3 years from now, when we're talking about the Vanity Fair article for the next Star Wars.
Well, and to be honest, after the GOT7, or not GOT7, sorry, Game of Thrones kind of spiral, I'm not sure how much I'm looking forward to that new trilogy. But anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have an episode about that where you can air your grievances.
Well, like, I also feel like it may not be so bad because it's not like they're going to be like, here, Star Wars, do what you want. It's going to be very much, this is, like, these are the, like, things you have to tick off. Like, it's going to be very much a monitored thing.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Plus, if they don't do a good job, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy knows how to fire people, so.
Damn!
I'm just saying. cool. So, did we miss any pictures? I mean, there's a pretty cool one of C-3PO in the desert being, like, having his makeup being put on by the crew. And that was, like, a throwback, because all I see is, like, them doing the making of, you know, the first movie out in the desert with 3PO.
And, like, going back to my comment about feeling bad for all the actors in the Knights of Ren black head-to-toe costumes, constantly feel sorry for Anthony Daniels and his very shiny, reflective bodysuit that he has to wear for all nine of these movies and all the deserts he's been to.
Yeah, I know. At least, listen, he has gone through a shit ton. And am I allowed to say that on this show?
I'm not sure we're supposed to swear, but it's too late now.
It's too late now. 3PO has gone through a lot. And, I mean, heck, the red arm. I mean, he's lost his actual arm before. Actually, half of his body, probably.
Been in parts. His head's been brought backwards. He's been in
parts. Yeah, I mean, the dude is like a trooper. But,
Well, not a super trooper.
Okay, he's a champ. We'll just put it that way. But like the caption of the picture, you know, is talking about Daniels as the only cast member to appear in all nine of the Skywalker films. That's got to be crazy for him, because like who would have thought while making A New Hope that the only person who would be, well, first of all, that there would be nine movies, but secondly, like the only person who would be in all nine of them is Anthony Daniels, who I think has the first line of A New Hope, right? At least he's the person I remember.
Well,
like, he's the main character of A New Hope until, you know, 20 minutes in when we meet Luke, basically.
Well, and I also kind of feel bad because how hard must it be to, like, show up on, like, it's, I guess, a little bit different for the prequels, for him to show up on site. Like, it sucks that the other actors aren't there, but, I mean, it's, he knew that going in, but like to show up now knowing that like Han Solo is dead, the actor isn't, but the character is. And then like Carrie Fisher has passed away.
Right.
Like, and I mean, watch them go that way.
Yeah, he's the only cast member to be in all nine movies, but like, you know, of course, like Billy Dee Williams is in this movie, who is an old cast member that 3PO or that Daniels acted with, but it was just Billy Dee Williams wasn't in all nine of them.
Yeah.
You know? So like in this movie, and of course, like, I mean, if Mark Hamill's in this movie, I'm sure Anthony Daniels, you know, talked to him as well and all that kind of stuff.
Well, so, if they were on set at the same time, but
if they were, which would have been cool, I would have been down.
Which I have to, like, since we're talking about him, I like to point out that the article did talk about when Anthony Daniels was like trying to remember the script, and he was having a really hard time with the first line, and apparently his first line has the word common emblem.
That's a long, or that's, sorry, wow, that's a difficult couple words.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of consonants.
Well, because they said, what was his quote? My first line would not go in my head, he says. In person, Daniels is like C-3PO, whose preferences have been reset to charming and voluble. The line that couldn't, that I couldn't say two words, common emblem, common emblem, common emblem. I would say them thousands of times. My wife would say it back. I just couldn't say them. And then because, and then they make a comment, because C-3PO's mouth doesn't move, they could add that line in post-production.
Huh, that's hilarious.
Which, I was like, that feels like that's just, like, extra, like, work they have to, like, go back and do.
But now we're gonna know when that happens in the movie.
Yeah, like, I'll think of this, but as, like, Lev Grossman points out, that, like, there's a 100% chance that they're gonna change that line by the time we see the movie anyway.
Oh, dang it. Okay, well, whatever.
But
we can always speculate where it may have been, right?
I also, because I appreciate the humor in this, I guess, to quote the article specifically, it says, Daniels also told me that C-3PO does something in this movie that surprises everybody, but he wouldn't say what. And then Daniels' specific quote is, he keeps his clothes on. It's not like he suddenly does this thing, but... And I appreciate it. Oh, it's no. Like, he keeps his clothes on. I'm like, he's a droid. He doesn't wear clothes. It's...
Hey, no, he was naked in the first one.
Skin. But anyways, but, like, in the sense that, like it's still in character, but it's a surprising character thing. And yeah, I think, because...
totally cool with.
Yeah, because, like, out of C-3PO, like, the original droids of C-3PO and R2-D2, everybody loves R2-D2, because he's this spunky little, like... almost sometimes carefree, self-sufficient droid. And then, like, C-3PO is, like, the worrywart, who's very, kind of pretentious and persnickety, and just also kind of the comic relief because everything happens to him.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he might actually get something a little bit more... or reveal something a little bit more. Like,
maybe he'll get, like, a slightly defining moment, but something he accomplishes completely by accident, you know, because that's a total C-3PO thing to do.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, C-3PO, he, like, his mem, like, both their memories are supposed to be wiped. They're not supposed to remember that they knew, like, Anakin Skywalker or things like that, but I believe in one of the Clone Wars episodes, R2-D2 goes missing, and they're like, well, it's a droid, like, I know you're attached, but you have to let it go. And Anakin was kind of like, I haven't wiped R2-D2's memory. And they're like, okay, now we definitely need to get this droid back, because we can't let the Separatists get a hold of him. Yeah. And so it makes me wonder, okay, like, I'm assuming that, like, since then, their memories have been wiped more than that. Maybe R2-D2 is a little bit less than C-3PO, but maybe it has something to do with he does have, like, hidden memories or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
That'd be cool. I mean, I think that'd be cool from a perspective of the fact that, like, if C-3PO could, like, sort of give us, you know how, like, he tells the Ewoks the story of the rebellion in Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
If he accidentally accesses something that wasn't deleted that tells, like, the episode 1-9 story purely for nostalgia and fan service, that would be, I would cry so much. That would be great. Okay. Did we cover all the pictures? I think so. Wow.
And then I just reorganized based off what we talked about, because we skipped all over the place.
Okay, so, of course we did. Yeah. We don't have Mikey. We don't
actually.
Know
what we're doing. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, then, if you've got nothing else to say, unless you have something else to say,
nope.
You good? Okay.
Yeah.
So, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. I almost messed that up.
Yep.
Cool. And until the next episode, where hopefully we will have Mikey back and things will be under control, I am Ben.
And I am Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
and also with you.